You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
A story here from Fox 4. Some Chick-fil-A loyalty members may have had their personal information exposed following a recent cyber attack, according to the company. Chick-fil-A confirming that it identified suspicious login activity that may have affected some Chick-fil-A One accounts.
Huh?
Can we talk about the loyalty programs?
Please.
What does it do for you? Every time I go to my favorite grocery store, They say, do you have a loyalty card? And I always reply, I think I do, connected to my phone number, but I don't need the gas discount. I don't have a gasoline car.
Well, they do nothing for you then.
Correct, right? Most of that for grocery stores is gas discounts, correct?
Mostly, but... Yeah, for the
most part. So if you're signing up for like a Chick-fil-A rewards program, you are agreeing to give them your information. You're agreeing to let them market to you for like what? You get a free sandwich here and there or?
Like and subscribe.
Yeah.
The fast food ones, yeah, are typically just that. You sign up for the app and, you know, say it's McDonald's. You can get two sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffins for the price of one. And we'll sell your data to everybody on the planet.
I know most people sign up for the rewards programs. I do not.
Okay. Now, with the grocery store, though, it is more than just gas. Like, if you have, and I know which one you're talking about, if you have them or the other guys, whatever, you do get discounts in the store as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'm because they're a client of mine, Hy-Vee Perks, for example. Yes, you save on gas, but they also send out digital coupons.
Which I'm not going to download. And I love Hy-Vee, but I just...
And you can get certain items are listed as perks priced.
Okay.
So the coupon clubs.
Yeah.
The grocery stores, they have loyalty programs that are basically coupon clubs. And yeah, you might get a discount at your favorite fast food or other.
That's something that has gone away that will never come back. The coupon clipping wallet.
Oh, then you weren't in line behind the gal that I was in line.
Did you get one? Because my grandma used to have one of those.
They're all over the age of 80, and they carry it in their billfold. And for whatever reason, they fumble through it.
Next to the ledger.
And then half of the coupons that they have diligently cut out of the either the flyer that you can get on when you walk in, or I don't know if they still do it in the Sunday paper. That's where the coupon pages were. Mm-hmm. But when they hand them over, half of them are expired.
So that person is doing that in front of you, and then you step up with your check.
With your checkbook.
And everybody else behind the pair of you.
For the last time, I do not write checks in public places.
Oh, thank you, text line. Dana, I'm happy to use your gas points from your grocery store trips. That's such a great idea, text line.
I suppose. Can I auction them off to the highest bidder?
Yeah, I think that would be perfectly
Let's
legal.
Do that.
I got $3.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here we go.
Tough times over at Sporting KC, and I say that as a fan. I say that as someone who goes to a lot of their games. I did not go to last night's game. I didn't have the feels for it. This from Channel 5. This season, Sporting KC started its First Game on Us program, which offers up to two free tickets to first-time game goers at home games. The program apparently has spiked in popularity following the World Cup.
Yeah.
A couple of comments very quickly. Tell me that you're not selling out games without telling me that you're not selling out games.
Yeah.
Not selling out, just flat out not selling.
Okay. Number two, how does Sporting determine or prove that you are a first-time game goer?
The SeatGeek app.
Yeah.
Probably.
So in theory, if you and your significant other are first-time game goers, you can go twice for free because you can go on your SeatGeek app. And then her SeatGeek app, or vice versa.
But T, for example, has gone to many a sporting game with me.
Yeah.
But we've always used my tickets on SeatGeek.
So she could go.
Yeah,
she could sign up and go for free.
Yeah. With someone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, what we need here in this country is what they do over there in England with the what's it called when they drop down relegation.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we need something like that.
Is this a rebuilding year, maybe?
It has been for, what, four?
About 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Okay. Still a lot of rebuilding.
Believe you me, I have suffered through it in person.
I signed up for the attend the sporting.
Good.
I've never been to one before. So I've just never been. And so I signed up for it. And I've got some tickets.
Good.
Free tickets in October.
I'll sell you a couple of mine for $10 a piece.
Oh.
And Sam, my seats.
They're good.
They're very good.
Yeah, you're not going to give them to me?
Yeah, I'll probably give them to you.
Did you hear this? Hawaii is raising its truck bed riding age to 16.
Yes.
Quote, testing a cherished island tradition. Mm-hmm. As the mother of two boys.
Why is it always boys? Girls don't ever ride in the bed of a truck?
I don't think anyone should ever be riding in the bed of a pickup truck. However, we have these kids zooming back and forth without helmets on e-bikes right now. Is it really that much less safe to be in the back of a pickup truck? Probably not.
I mean, we assume that Hawaii is some, you know, paradise, some vacation.
Not if you live there.
But it's basically, you know, Arkansas or West Virginia or South Carolina out in the middle of the Pacific. It's rural and people do rural things.
It's a rite of passage in small towns.
Is it?
Yes.
I have both ridden in the bed and driven the truck with people in the bed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sam.
When I went to high school in Lansing, that's how you got people around.
We called that the school bus back in South Carolina.
But we know better now.
It's legal in the state of Missouri.
What do you mean we know better now? We've got, to your point just a minute ago, we've got kids zipping by
unless
on...
Unless it's an e-bike, we know better now.
On e-bikes without their helmets on. I mean, do we really know any better by now?
No, you're right.
What does that mean, though, know better? Than what? What's wrong with riding in the back of a pickup truck?
Well, closed head injuries, Dan.
If you fall out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's necessary. And look, either allow it or don't allow it. Don't say if you're over 16, you're somehow going to be safer in the back of the bed of a big... Either say you can do it or you can't do it.
Have you never ridden in the bed of a pickup truck?
On a hayride, maybe, when I was a child.
But when you were in high school?
No.
You didn't get in the bed of somebody's pickup truck?
No.
And go out in the country and drink beers?
No.
Wow.
Oh, that sounds like a Topeka Seaman classic right there.
Mm-hmm. Was.
So you're the one.
I was the one.
In Missouri, by the way, you have to be over the age of 18.
But you can do it if you're over the age of 18.
That's so dumb.
We used to do it all the time. Yeah.
When we get back, one of my favorite stories of the day. If you work at home.
She gets herself so worked up. It's like a little island out in the middle of nowhere.
A remote worker has sued... after her company forced her to turn on her camera during video calls. Now, keep in mind, she is working from home. So if you were coming into work, you would see my face, Scott. I'm coming in. You see my face. There's Dana.
There you are, right there in front of me.
She's working at home and says, I don't want to turn my camera on.
Mm-hmm.
And her boss says, yeah, turn your camera on. We need to see you if you're going to work from home. She has sued, and when we get back, I will tell you who won that lawsuit, and I cannot believe it.
And then we will get into how do you feel when you're on a Zoom and there are plenty of people who are basically just a dot.
They're hiding something.
Is that what you always think?
Yes.
913-586-7798.
Like their pants.
Wait. I'm just going to go to break.
No, go ahead. What do you have to add?
No, we'll discuss.
913-586-7798. This story is out of England. She refused to be on screen. Now she's raking in the green. Stories from the New York Post. Money will soon be zooming to Laura Tate's front door as the anxious work-from-home travel consultant has successfully sued her ex-employer for forcing her to be on camera during business video calls, infringing on her disability rights.
Wait, what?
An employment tribunal recently ruled that Tate's former company, Hollywood Extras, a vacation service, failed to provide reasonable adjustments to suit her anxiety, including the ability to join meetings with the camera off. Huh.
Well, it sounds like we're going to reasonably accommodate you to a new company.
Why do you have to be off camera?
She says because of her anxiety.
Being seen.
Being just one face in a multitude of boxes across a computer screen.
Is that like a deranged modern day agoraphobia?
Look, as someone, I think one of maybe others, I don't want to speak for your disabilities, but I do have a generalized anxiety disorder. And I don't know that showing your face on the Zoom is something that intrudes on that disorder.
Unless you're that one guy from CNN.
Well, that created anxiety in everyone around him.
Oh, that's right. Jeffrey Toobin.
I joked before we went to the break. Like, I think you're hiding something, like you're not wearing pants. It just, if you're
and
not.
And he wasn't.
No, he wasn't, Scott. Or he was, and then he wasn't.
And then
yeah.
He thought he was Got off it. Camera, and nope. He wasn't. He was not off camera.
He was performing that day.
Here's the other deal. Did you guys see in the stack this last week, a guy zoomed in to a work meeting, look it up, on a roller coaster?
Yes, that was in South Korea.
And thought he could hide the fact that he was not, in fact, at work. He was doing the loop-de-loop at like a Six Flags.
Mm-hmm. Had one of those fake backgrounds on.
This
he
is
did
why
put a fake background on.
Smart.
Why is the wind flying through your hair like Fabio?
It's breezy out here.
If you are a boss, do you not have an expectation that your employees, when they show up for a meeting, are actually there?
And let me ask you this, another question, and we'll certainly take calls on this. I find this to be fascinating. Every one of us has been on a Zoom call before. Why would you not turn your camera on?
I'm here.
I mean,
like for the gold star from your boss that, hey, I'm here.
Especially if it's work related. If it's a work Zoom call, okay, and you don't have your camera on,
yeah,
I'm going to assume that you're cleaning dishes,
yes,
or working out in the landscaping outside, just listening, but with half an ear anyway.
Yes.
I'll tell on myself. We have a Zoom meeting every morning for our news team. I never turn my camera on.
Why?
I'm making breakfast.
Okay.
Whipping up some eggs.
You're a multitasker.
Or still there. Still participating.
Are you paying half attention?
No, I'm paying full attention.
You can't be paying full attention if you're also making eggs and stuff.
Eggs don't require a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We have one every single morning.
All right. How many people are on the morning news Zoom call?
On average, one.
There's only one person there.
Oh, no. Sorry. On the call itself?
Yeah.
I don't know. The staff?
So roughly...
7, 8.
Okay. A little more than half a dozen. Okay. How many of those 7 or 8 that are on this Zoom call every morning have their camera on?
An average of one.
No one cameras in?
Not a single one except for Alan.
Our boss
is the only one
who turns his camera on.
And only about half the time.
And so half the
it's
time...
It's just a bunch of black boxes talking to each other?
Just a group phone call, effectively.
Oh my gosh. Then what's the point?
You heard Dan's reaction.
What is the point?
We get together and chat about the news stories that we want to cover that day.
It's a work Zoom call. Don't you think it's important to see each other, or is everybody goofing around?
Everyone is goofing around.
I have no idea. Their cameras aren't on.
Neither is yours.
I just think the default for me, if I look up and you are not joining the meeting, is that you are not where you're supposed to be, or you are not interested in actually joining in the conversation.
From the text line, social anxiety is very real and can be debilitating.
Yes.
Also from the text line, generalized anxiety disorder does not mean it's the same for everyone. It gives me extreme anxiety to be on camera.
Really?
And I heard, and we saw all of this, rolling out during the pandemic, that most people prior to the pandemic and being on Zoom every day,
mm-hmm,
didn't go day to day looking at themselves.
Right. That's why the plastic surgery rates went up during COVID.
That's actually true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Which really shows how many people never actually look at themselves. So then if you're thrown into a situation where you have to stare at yourself because of your job, I could see that increasing your anxiety.
Sometimes people need to remember, though, that they are on camera. I have been in a Zoom call before where somebody started picking their nose.
Okay, let's not do that.
That would be a reason to turn one's camera off.
I just think it's weird that you all are in a meeting with each other and no one is showing themselves.
From the text line.
So funny.
Y'all work in radio and are talking about people being on camera?
Well, hey.
Well, this is the medium that we signed up for.
We have said and said again, there will come a day that we had cameras in this room.
It's coming sooner
it's
rather
coming
than
sooner
later.
Rather yep. than later.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're having some highfalutin, you know, high dollar presentation meeting or something, you know, not just a morning news meeting, not trying to talk down in our meetings, but if you're really getting some very important stuff done, I could see the need for cameras to be on just to better sell the product because the visual will add to it.
Okay, let me give out the phone number here real quick, and then I have an example that I'd like both of you to weigh in on. 913-586-7798. We're just using this story out of the UK as a springboard to a larger conversation about people who refuse to turn their camera on during a Zoom meeting, okay? And if you don't turn your camera on, we've all been on Zoom before, come on. Why is your camera off? And one person just texted in, it's because my house is always messy. Well, then clean up the area that's within camera.
Or don't just put a wall behind you, right?
You can put a fake background up.
Absolutely.
Which I think is weird too. That tells me you really don't want me to know what's behind you. Like, somebody wearing a GIMP mask, or I have no idea.
I don't know. What are you into? I don't know.
When I did have the camera on, I always had the blur background.
Why?
So you could see what was behind me, but you couldn't actually see what was behind me.
Well, that's a good idea. Just blur the background.
You can do that.
That's where my kidnapping victim is.
But why would you?
Please don't zoom in.
Why would you blur your background?
It was just, to me, it was weird. I was sitting in my bedroom at home having a work meeting.
You don't need to see my bedroom. You're right.
Okay. So here's the example I was about to give. Not too long ago, I was on a Zoom call with a client. It was American Topsoil.
Okay.
And our sales guy who has the account, Greg Bergen, he was on there, and all the guys from American Topsoil were on the conference, on the Zoom call. Of course, I turned on my camera. But can you imagine what my client would think, what American Topsoil would think?
Yeah.
If here I am joining in on this Zoom call and I refuse to turn on my camera.
I would think, again, that you weren't wearing pants. Honestly.
I mean, the inference is I have something to hide.
Yes. Absolutely.
If the three of us, let's say, and we don't, but let's say we had a show Zoom call every morning.
Yeah.
Okay. And Sam and you refuse to turn on your cameras, even though we stare at each other for 4 hours, 5 hours
every
day.
You'd be like, what's up?
That's exactly what I would say. Why does no one have their cameras on? What are you hiding?
My face from you. And then there's those people that join court and, you know, probably should keep the camera off. Like Mr. I'm parking right now.
There for a DUI, was he not? Or suspended license. We got to come back with that. It is so funny. Man, judges just are such a crack up when something like that happens.
Just give me a second. Pulling in.
I forgot all about that guy. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. From the text line, thanks a lot, Scott. Now I have to explain to my 13-year-old what a GIMP mask is.
What's a mask for GIMPs?
For Halloween. It's a Halloween mask.
Wrestling.
That's right. It's for wrestling. That's right. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Mr. Harris, hello? Are you driving?
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually. So I'll just give me 1 second. I'm parking right now.
Hey. You stationary?
I'm pulling in right now at this second. Yes, I am.
If I'm not mistaken, he was not supposed to be driving at all. Is that correct?
What, he's suspended license guy?
He was appearing in court for a hearing to hopefully get his license back. He was actively under a suspended license, and that is how he decided, I'm going to show up to court driving. I have the rest of it if you want it.
Just the part where the judge is like, wait a minute.
All right. What are we doing?
Your Honor, we are respectfully requesting an adjournment in this matter, up possibly 2 to 4 weeks that the court would allow.
Okay. So maybe I don't understand something. This is a driving with a license suspended?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And he was just driving. And he didn't have a license.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. From the text line, during our staff meeting, this is from 7822. During our staff meeting, my manager calls us out by name to turn our cameras on. It is a requirement. But another person writes in, seriously, why do you need to see someone at a desk? I do 3 calls daily from my office with a minimum of 20 people, not one person on camera.
Then what's the point? Just pick up the phone and call me.
913-586-7798. Peter in Mission. Peter, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So I have not worked in a position that's exactly this, but I've some of the people that I know and I've opinions from people I've seen argue that what business is it of my employer, what the inside of my house looks like? If I'm not in a public-facing role, if you're doing sales, obviously, I think it makes sense. But if I'm, yeah, you know, programming something on the back end of whatever, as long as my work gets done, why does my employer need to see what I'm up to or if I just rolled out of bed, as long as I'm hitting the things required for my job?
Your targets or whatever, yeah.
Peter, I hear what you're saying, but and maybe it's just, and we get some weird background noise there. I hear what you're saying. You know, I'm not out representing the company publicly, and I'm on with my employer or whomever. Why do they really need to see my face? I understand where you're coming from there. What I'm simply saying is I think a lot of people, myself included, wonder why it is that you don't want to be seen. And I immediately do not give, and maybe this is a shortcoming on my part, I immediately will not give you the benefit of the doubt.
Agree. I'm the same way.
I will automatically think you're not wearing pants or you're doing something you shouldn't be doing.
If it's you don't want me to see your house, Scott, you know, you work from home. Let's say you know you work from home. You're always going to work from home. Why would you not just set up your laptop in a space where there's a blank wall behind you?
Right. So, for example, if I'm on Zoom, and I am from time to time, what you will see behind me is a bookcase.
Yeah.
And that's it. You will see a bookcase behind me. When Sarah joins her company on a Zoom call from when she comes over on Friday mornings, we set her up in the kitchen area.
Yeah.
What you will see behind her is a window shade and a back door.
You get to choose.
Yeah.
That's kind of the beauty of it.
Horribly nondescript. Let's go to Mark in Olathe. Mark, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Of course, anytime.
I'm going to show my age a little bit and give me a little bit of rope and you'll understand where I'm coming from. I'm from the generation where we did everything on a conference call. And my company right now uses Teams calls, Zoom calls, whatever you want to say,
yeah,
as conference calls because we don't have phones at our desk. So I get my communication. Sometimes I turn my camera on. Sometimes I don't. Does it really matter? We've had this thing called a telephone. We've had meetings over the phone for years.
Yeah,
lots,
yeah,
of successful things have happened in society without you being able to see if I'm wearing my Def Leppard T-shirt or if I'm wearing a collared shirt. It really doesn't matter. I don't want – sometimes in some of these meetings – someone says something pretty stupid. I don't want them to see my facial reaction because I don't want to have a poker face the entire time I'm sitting in front of my camera at home or at my desk, whatever. So what's the point of having to prove yourself? Did my work get done? Were we successful? If I don't do my work, I don't get the notes, I don't pay attention, that's on me. And if I do that enough, I won't be working there.
Okay, now Mark, hang on. I love the Def Leppard reference, by the way. Nicely done.
Very nice.
But when you do have your camera on, Mark, and there are other people in the room that don't, do you automatically give them the benefit of the doubt that they hope you get when you have your camera off?
I care less.
Okay.
I don't care. As long as they're receiving the information that I'm communicating so I can do my job and vice versa, who gives a flip?
Okay.
The other thing that just cracks me up is just because we have this technology, it's not required.
Then why?
Yeah, I mean, are you going to hold up a chart in front of the camera for me to get it? No, you're going to share your screen and it's going to be on the computer. So who cares?
Okay.
I mean, really.
But Mark, let me ask you one last question. Then we got to get on to Leroy and the others. If you don't care and you said, who gives a flip, then why do you occasionally turn your camera on?
Well, the same reason why I occasionally hit the mute button on my computer, so the mic doesn't play the entire time. So if I decide to belch or sneeze or have the TV on, it's no different than hitting the mute button, is it?
Okay.
That's fair.
Mark, good call. Do appreciate it, man. Thank you for it. Leroy in North Kansas City. Leroy, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. All right, so I think it's a situational difference, and I'll try to summarize it into categories for that. One, if you're literally just going to be reading numbers and graph numbers and like P&L numbers, or whatever, all right, I guess it doesn't really matter if people see your face if you're just going to be sitting there listening. But in many situations for businesses, a facial expression can actually sway a conversation or sell a product or a change in the office that you might be wanting to push, which obviously would mean camera on so that you can explain and you know. So I think it's a situational difference in what the meeting's about.
Okay, maybe. Right.
Okay. I do appreciate that call. Thank you for it. From the text line, that caller, and they're referring to Mark, who said, I don't give a flip. 4814 writes, or 4614, I don't have my glasses on. The caller is 100% spot on. Perfect call, perfectly answered. And then somebody says, I was reaching for the dump button in my truck that doesn't exist. If you think you were reaching for your dump button, Sam and I were both wiping sweat.
The minute he said it, I was like,
Sam and I were
like Salvi had a home run.
Wiping sweat off of our foreheads. That was a close call. Let me ask you this. I'll ask both of you. Does an employer who is hosting a Zoom call with employees, obviously, do they have the right to tell you, Dana, turn your camera on, please?
Yes.
They have the right.
I think so.
Sam?
Yes, I completely agree with that.
As a boss, you can say, and I'm going to need everyone to turn their cameras on here for this. I'm about to tell you something important.
You're fired.
You're fired. And I'm going to need everyone to turn their cameras on.
If you refuse, I think they should have a right to fire you.
If you refuse, makes it awkward in front of everybody. But why? Just tell me why.
What if a lot of people are writing in saying, I have not showered yet. My hair is not done. Mm. I haven't shaved.
I'm on the toilet. I ate some lettuce.
Well, I mean, I think certain exemptions or exceptions could be made if you have recently eaten some lettuce and you're sitting on the toilet with explosive and watery diarrhea. But why wouldn't you just turn the camera on?
And if you're worried about that because you didn't prepare adequately for your workday, that's not your employer's fault. That's yours.
Fair point. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Oh, his other hit. A story here from ABC News. Fort Hood, Texas, one of the Army's largest bases, has closed one of its dining facilities after a video circulating on Twitter appears to show dozens of roaches crawling across the wall of the facility's kitchen. The footage was posted by U.S. Army WTF Moments, a large online community of service members and veterans that highlights issues affecting troop quality of life and conditions on military installations. Says Lieutenant Colonel Joey Payton, quote, effective immediately, we are closing the Operation Iraqi Freedom dining facility to correct the situation. The dining facility will remain closed until the problem is remedied. Okay.
The problem? Your walls are moving.
I'm just quoting from the colonel here. You want to see pictures?
No, okay. I'm good.
All right.
I am good.
Okay.
I'm not going to give details, but I will tell you in the continuing courtroom saga of the David trial, where they're trying to figure out if there's enough evidence to send him to trial. Yes, there is. They had police officers take the stand today who said that when they went into his Hollywood Hills place, the garage floor lit up with blood under the brick stones, under the subfloor of that garage floor. Her family was also in court, Scott, as they showed the evidence of what it was they found in that front trunk, and there are no words.
This is where her body was was found dismembered.
Yes. I don't know how that family is doing this, but they want justice for their daughter, and they are sitting through this testimony. I don't know how he has even agreed to go to trial, because this is a death penalty case, correct? You would think his attorneys would just say, let's just take life in prison and run with it, because the amount of evidence they have is staggering against him, including he went out and bought a chainsaw, Postmates to shovel, Uber her to his house on his Uber account, 11 air fresheners in the car.
Okay.
It's over.
That's not good. I'll remind you, in the O.J. Simpson trial, they had his DNA on the scene, shoe prints that could only be matched to about
500 men in the world.
Yeah. And he's photographed in all places, Kansas City,
wearing those shoes. Yep.
As he's walking with a then alive Nicole Simpson.
But I think it's a little bit different because Nicole Simpson wasn't in the frunk of his Tesla.
No, she was found with her head almost completely severed from her body on a sidewalk.
What he is going to try to say
wasn't his.
Yes, she died. I didn't cause it.
That's exactly what he's
going to
say.
And I panicked and tried to get rid of the evidence. And that's all I'm guilty of. I don't think it's going to work.
He's going to make the argument that to follow, if you're correct, and all this is just spitballing and guessing.
Because prove how she died. I don't know that they can.
Exactly. I came home from a long day at work, and she had died of a drug overdose.
Do you think that his number one hit being titled Romantic Homicide will come into play?
Yeah, I do.
Probably.
Sam, I do.
Probably, yeah. But there are ways a defense attorney can say, this was not a murder. Was this abandonment of a corpse? Yes.
Was it a relationship with a child that was underage? Yes. But they might just, honestly, Scott, they can put him away just for that, can they not?
If they have the evidence for it, yes. That would require some sort of
text
conversations or inappropriate pictures that may have been sent to this then 14-year-old girl.
There had to have been text conversations about the cover-up.
Oh, I agree.
You don't think they just randomly wisened up and started using burner phones?
No, like, I agree.
What do you mean text about the cover-up? Explain that.
How do we clean all the blood out of the garage?
Well, who's the we then?
His assistant or whoever his people are. I don't know.
Maybe he didn't text. Maybe there was no conversation about that at all. Maybe, you know, if he did it, and that's a huge if, we don't know. If he did it, he may have done it by himself.
It's crazy that 6 years ago, this was a kid that came from nothing and who would stream himself playing Fortnite and playing his beats over his stream. And that's how he started making music.
Is that right?
And here we are in 2026.
Well, keep in mind, he performed in Kansas City while he was under investigation.
Yep.
I mean, if I'm under investigation for a crime I know I committed, I am on my way to Cuba. I'm not performing in Kansas City.
Are you suggesting you think he might not have done it?
I'm suggesting if I was a defense lawyer, I can think of some ways to maybe get him off.
Got it.
And don't think for a second he doesn't have the money to get really good defense lawyers who will come up with some scenario where it wasn't him. Yeah.
She, quote, fell and hit her head. You know it's going to be something ridiculous.
Yeah. And then he panicked, to borrow your theory from a minute ago. He panicked and didn't know what to do. He didn't want to get in trouble for having drugs in the home that may have been responsible for her death. I dismembered her and put her in the trunk of my Tesla. End of story. I'm sorry. Quick break for the news. Dan has that coming your way in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.